Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for being with me today. I love Mondays. I hope you do, too. I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you got everything done you had on your list. List of things to do, and it can be long, especially in the springtime when there is so much out there. Sweeping, raking, all that stuff. And I think this week it will include shoveling, because I think Wednesday there's supposed to be snow. Here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul is looking at 8 to 10 inches, which sounds ridiculous. Come on. It's April. It is April, so we have snow in April, but I guess no one is in the mood for it this time around. So I think Wednesday, Thursday is going to be 8 to 10 inches of snow, so we'll just do what we have to do to get through it. But I'm awfully glad that you joined me today, and I'm looking forward to my time with my in-studio guests. I'm going to bring them on in just a minute. Unless I get real interesting and I talk the whole time and don't bring them on at all. That could happen too. So I want to go to Romans 12 in verse 1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." All eyes of the world are going to be on Minneapolis tonight because we have got the Final Four in town. It started Saturday, and then yesterday was the day off, and tonight is the finals, and it's going to be wild, and there's going to be a viewership like you can't believe. And I've got three students from the University of Northwestern in studio, and part of their senior project was to be courtside and to be interviewing, and I've got all their interviews, so this is going to be fascinating. They've had a chance to talk to the coaches and players, and it is good stuff, and I want to learn about them and what they've got planned for their lives. It's going to be a great hour. Let me take a break, 60 seconds, and I'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Neil Stavem, manager of Faith Radio. We received this note from a listener recently who said, "Faith Radio has made the biggest difference in my life and in my journey as a believer in Christ. Because of you, my Bible is off the bookshelf and in my hands. I now attend a church that's very alive and thriving. I love so many of your speakers, especially Greg Laurie." Well, such an encouraging note. And for those of you who support this ministry and make the relevant Bible preaching, like Greg Laurie and others, possible, thank you. When God's Word is taught and the gospel is presented, lives are changed. And as a financial partner in this ministry, you share in the blessing of these transformation stories. Many people have been touched by your generosity, and we couldn't do it without your support. So thank you again for keeping Faith Radio strong. And if you've yet to join our giving team, just to remind you, our Faith Radio Spring Share begins April 9th. Or you can make a gift today by calling 877-93-FAITH. Thanks.
It is 7 minutes after the hour. How about your senior project includes going to the Final Four and meeting coaches and players and being able to do interviews? That sounds like a pretty dreamy senior project, and I want to learn more about it. I have in studio Caleb Sowers, Ryan Mitchell, and Anderson Basil Jr. Did I say that last name correct?
Bazil.
I was 2 for 3. Not bad. So, guys, how are you?
Doing really well.
All right.
Gorgeous day out.
What did you say?
It's a gorgeous day.
Oh, it's spectacular. Yeah. You're looking the right direction, too. I'm looking not out the window.
Do you want to switch spots? So
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. I want to give you the VIP seats. Let's talk about the senior project. You guys are at the Final Four.
Yeah, it's been a dream come true, and we want to thank you guys for being part and giving us this experience. It's honestly a blessing to be able to be there and cover the event. And
nice.
For myself personally, I know it's a dream come true, and I know for these guys it is as well. It's something that we'd love to do as a career down the road, and getting an experience this weekend has
cool.
been unbelievable.
All right, now I want to learn a little bit about all of you. So, Ryan, why don't you start? Tell me what your plan is.
Sure. So just like for my career in general, you're saying?
Well, I mean, you're a senior at University of Northwestern here, and you're just wrapping up. I mean, your school's going to be done in a month, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, just over a month. So I'm a multimedia journalism major, sport communication minor. I'd love to work in sports if I can. Sports media has been my dream for a while. I do stuff with the TV news show here, radio, and writing as well. So I'd love to do any of those, whatever which way it comes, and just try to be versatile in a lot of different things.
Nice. Anderson, what about you?
My major is the same as Ryan, multimedia journalism, and I like to be a sports reporter and hopefully one day have my own show.
Cool. Well, you're not going to have my show because I got my show. I didn't like the way you're looking at me. You're looking at me like, I'll take this show. So anyway, I'm just trying to defend myself here. All right.
Caleb,
you're next.
Yeah, I'm a media production major with a radio emphasis, so I hope to do some sports play-by-play for the future.
Okay. Now, I'd love to hear a little bit about your faith journey, too. Yeah. Tell me, Christian home?
Yep.
All of you?
Yeah. My dad's a pastor in Sioux City, Iowa. He's been preaching at a church for 35 years, same church.
Wow.
So grew up with a very, very strong Christian home, which has been a huge blessing for me.
Yeah, I want to talk to your dad.
He's a knee guy.
And I want to have him on the show.
You could probably do that. You'd probably love to come on.
Yeah, well, not right now.
Oh, okay.
But we will call him.
Basketball first.
Okay. Yeah, basketball first. All right, Anderson, tell me about your faith journey.
Yeah, for me, growing up, I grew up in Houston and San Antonio. We moved when I was going to the sixth grade. But growing up, my mom and dad had me in church. And then about age 11, 12, I started really like understanding what was going on. So I planned in my life and... so that's when it
that's fantastic
hit for me.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you short, but 11 years old, you're planning your life and you know the Lord, right? That's fantastic. All right. I think that's just spectacular.
Yeah,
all right, let's get down to US Bank Stadium now. What was it like over the weekend?
It was a madhouse, first of all.
I bet.
Crazy.
I
downtown
it.
Yeah, there was a lot of other really cool events leading up to the Final Four, too. There's like the Final Four Fan Fest presented by Capital One for the in the convention center. So a lot of cool stuff in that, a lot of fans, a lot of participation, a lot of other cool events besides just the games themselves leading up on Friday, Saturday, and yesterday as well.
Okay.
So, and then the games themselves.
All right. I think I'm out of turn. Brian, I missed your faith story.
You're fine.
No, yeah. I didn't mean to, though.
No, you're good. I grew up in a strong Christian household as well. My parents raised me really well. Grandparents were a big influence as well. BSF was a big part for my journey, you know, my accepting Christ at a young age. I remember going with my mom and driving over just a few towns over and going to BSF when I was younger. And, that's kind of where it all started.
Fantastic. All right, let's jump back to U.S. Bank Stadium. And thank you, Rebecca, for pointing out that I missed Ryan. I don't know what I'd do without her. There is a lot of activity. There's lots of excitement. And you guys got to get some interviews, didn't you?
We sure did.
Yeah, okay. We did. I mean, we had basically as much access as you could ask for. I mean, we were able to get into the locker rooms on practice days after teams are done.
Wow.
And kind of, you got to be aggressive in a way in a locker room, you know, push your way through and try to get to the players you want to or wait out kind of more the more popular players. But there's definitely freedom to do what you like to there and then go in the press room as well and hear what the head coaches have to say and get some audio from that as well. So just an awesome opportunity to be that close and near all the action.
So was this the first time you've had access at that level?
Yes, for me personally.
Okay, that's got to be a through-the-roof experience.
Yeah, it's a dream come true, like Ryan said at the beginning of the show. We're really excited. All of us have had dreams of going to the Final Four someday. I don't think any of us thought it would be this early or two in this way. Getting into the locker rooms, like you mentioned, courtside, seeing a lot of famous people, too, from different networks, and it's been really exciting just to kind of a surreal experience. We know we're there to work, too, and get audio and meet players and do things, but at the same time, the little kid inside of me is just freaking out on the inside how excited I am to be there.
I get that entirely, because you got to manage your own excitement, and then you have to go do your job,
right. Which
sometimes can be conflicting, right? Because you just want to go get their autograph, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think we got some clips. I think I'm going to, I don't think I'm going to do one before a break here. We're going to take a break here in a couple minutes. But I want to find out going into the locker room, how many reporters are you competing against once you have that access at that level?
I'd say there could be anywhere from 20 to 30 potentially, or maybe even 35 some days if there's a lot of reporters trying to get certain players before the game started, but there's definitely a lot of people in there for sure. And like I said before, you got to get aggressive and try to work your way to the front so you can get a good audio with your recorder for sure.
Okay, now that surprises me, that answer, because you're students at the University of Northwestern, okay?
Yep.
Now, you're at the Final Four, and there's only 30 other reporters in there. I would think there'd be 300 reporters trying to get the attention of these players.
Sure. I mean, with the locker room specifically, there's only so many people who can fit in, so there may be multiple personalities or workers from a certain network if they're coming from a town from a specific team, but only so many can realistically get into the locker room and actually be able to pose a question. So there's more people there, just not necessarily in the locker room specifically.
All right. I have got three students here from the University of Northwestern. Their senior project is getting into the Final Four at U.S. Bank Stadium, and they've done some interviews, and they have got some fascinating clips that we're going to play, and they're going to set them up and explain them and then talk about the experience. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Welcome back to the show. It's 16 minutes after the hour. I've got three outstanding University of Northwestern students in my studio. Caleb Sowers, Ryan Mitchell, and Anderson Bazile Jr. I'm getting a big thumbs up here. And their senior project is to do some reporting, and they got into U.S. Bank Stadium for the Final Four. They're going tonight. The big game is Texas Tech versus Virginia.
Correct.
And you guys are excited.
Really excited. Yes. Late, kind of a late tip. So like 8:20, I think, is the tip-off.
Oh, really?
So a little bit later, but
they
really
want to build
excited.
The drama, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it's working.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the interviews you got. I think we got some clips with us. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's start off with Coach Tony Bennett, if
and
you want
Coach
to start
Coach Tony Bennett, for the listeners, is coach of what team?
Virginia Cavaliers. They're in the national championship tonight. Yep.
Well, okay. Let's go to Tony Bennett.
After the UMBC game, we sat in the holding area after that loss, and I said, we're not going to put up Isaiah or Devin, our two seniors. Ty and Kyle, I said, we're going to be up there, and it's going to be one of the hardest things to be facing that press conference. I said, but it starts now. I said, it's going to mark something. And I said, we're going to get through this, but you guys need to be up there with me, and we need to go through this. And then we need to go through next year together. We need each other. I knew it was going to be such an important time in our lives, however it played out. That's not a fun setting for anybody in the press conference. And now to sit with them here brings great joy to my heart. It really does, because it's good. That's all I can say, and I'm so thankful. And, again, whether it happened or not, I would have been so thankful for what they've done for this program and our bond through this all.
All right, who was that again?
So that was head coach Tony Bennett of the Virginia Cavaliers, and that was after their win Saturday night against Auburn, the close win against them. And
amazing game,
yeah.
By the way.
Amazing game.
Yeah.
Tight finish.
Yeah. That's powerful. All right. What else do we have?
I mean, I can give some context to that
if
you want.
Just no, please do.
I'm sure not all the listeners know. So last year, Virginia was a number one seed. They're one of the best teams in college basketball, and they're the first ever team to get beat by a 16 seed. So he was referencing the loss last year to UMBC, probably – one of the toughest moments for him and his players.
Gotcha.
And he could have chose to bring some seniors up into the press room because you have to take two players, but he chose Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome, two guys who were on the team last year and are still this year, because he said, you have to go through that adversity with me. We're going to get through this together. And then he's just smiling at him, talking with him Saturday night and saying, to see that progression to get to this spot, I'm so thankful that they were able to get through that and fight through that adversity, one of the toughest moments of their life last year, to now be on the biggest stage in the national championship.
Wow.
Right, and last year it was the biggest upset in March Madness history, UMBC upsetting Virginia, and now Virginia this year making it all the way to the national championship.
And Tony Bennett, who is the coach of Virginia, he's a solid believer, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He's been very open about his faith really throughout his whole coaching career in the last couple of years and building up the Virginia program. He's been a great interview for sure.
Yeah. Now, Anderson, do you have information about this clip that I think we've got about Tony Bennett talking about some of the biblical pillars?
Yeah, so pretty much before the game, he just wanted to say how they kind of based their team on, and these principles were what they pretty much like pushed their players to believe in what he stands on himself.
Let's hear it.
You've spoken a lot about your faith in Christ and how it helps you prepare day in and day out as a head coach of this organization, of this team. how significant has it been for you, just keeping your mind and then trying to translate that down to your players?
Yeah, no, it's really important. Yesterday I said there's a verse that says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. And I think that's what you have to do. I know what my hope is for me. I know what my life is grounded on, and there's nothing that touches it. It's a joy that's unspeakable. And so when you have players, our program is built on pillars, five. They're actually biblical pillars. And whether our guys, I'm always respectful, whether they believe that or not, their wisdom for our program, humility, do you know who you are as a team and as a player? Passion, do you play with passion? Unity, being part of something bigger than yourself. Servanthood, the way to greatness is for being a servant, and then thankfulness. So we use those for our team specifically. You know, your always hope is that you guys, through sports, they become better players and young men, and they'll always return to what you just model to them. And I know what matters in my life and my family's, and I try to be faithful to that and respect everyone else. That's, I guess, how I look at that. Thank you.
All right, that's Coach Tony Bennett from Virginia. I kind of know who I want to have win tonight. That's pretty cool.
It's really neat to see someone at that level on that biggest stage still being that outspoken about his faith and what that means to him, and translating that into his team as a whole, saying, hey, you know what? I still respect you if you maybe don't believe all the things I do, but we're going to base our team on these five biblical principles that don't necessarily have to translate into you being a Christian or not, but hey, you know what? This is good for you becoming a man, a better player, and that translate into being a team as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another clip we have. I think it's Coach Bruce Pearl about trusting God after a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, one thing I want to say before we get into the clip was that, so Saturday was two games, and after the game, the winning team had a 5-minute cooldown period, and the losing team had a 15-minute cooldown period, but the coaches were the first ones to go up to the podium. So this clip was pretty much coming right after he left the floor.
And this is the losing coach?
Losing coach for Auburn.
For what? For who?
Auburn.
For Auburn.
Yep.
And this is maybe 5 minutes after the loss.
5 minutes
after, so this is as raw as it gets.
Raw as it gets. Right when he walked down, he goes pretty much straight to the podium.
Okay, Rebecca, serve up raw.
Coach, this is obviously a heartbreaking loss for your program. What words did you tell your guys following a loss like this in efforts to kind of lift their spirits?
I asked them, you know, would we have trusted God any more in victory than we would trust him in defeat? In the sense that he carried us all the way here, all season long, and put so much blessing upon us. And so this is what the plan was. And let's handle the defeat with dignity.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm starting to tear up. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's tough for him in that situation. I mean, you see coaches sometimes after a loss, and for him being on the biggest stage of his career, he could be short with the media and he could be really brief, and he wouldn't have to say what happened in the locker room. He could say, I choose to not comment on that. That's going to stay between me and my players. You hear that all the time in sports. So to get that in-depth look and for him to be that open and willing to the public was awesome to hear.
Yeah.
The day before, too, at Fan Fest, there was an open practice at the bank, and there was a lot of fans there. A lot of people could show up and watch the team practice, and he was interviewed on TV over the loudspeakers at the U.S. Bank, and he just mentioned, too, how grateful he was to be there, how thankful to God who had led them, their team, all the way up to this point. And it was just really neat to see, once again, how outspoken these coaches are who are strong believers, and they're not afraid to hide their light under a bushel, but they'll display it.
Yeah. What do you know about some of the players that are following the Lord? Do we have any clips of any of those players?
Yeah, one in specific that sticks out, a guy that's playing tonight, Jarrett Culver. He's a sophomore for Texas Tech. Grew up in Lubbock, where Texas Tech University is located. Mm-hmm. He could have gone to more high-profile schools. He had a lot of big offers, but he decided to stay home and stay near his family. His dad is actually the team's chaplain and a pastor in Lubbock, Texas. And
cool.
So hearing his background is really cool. And as Anderson was saying before, he's a projected NBA draft lottery pick, like in the top 10 or 15 picks in this coming June's draft. So a high-profile guy on the biggest stage.
Okay, cool. Let's hear that.
My upbringing is just taught me how to keep God first, stay humble, and, I mean, just keep working. And I feel like those things I've been doing my whole life, so it brought me a long way. Just growing up, just making sure I keep God first. I knew I wouldn't be here without God and stuff like that. So I just know I want to stay humble. It's not about me. I wouldn't be here if God didn't give me the talent, so I want to use my talent that God gave me for his glory. I just know at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about what God has given me.
Well, that's pretty solid. He knows who he's following.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely cool to see that perspective for a guy on this big of a stage. And I actually was asking him those questions, just acting like, you know, you hear all this talk about being a coach's kid. Yeah. Or like, how do you adapt from being the son of some guy? Well, how about your dad's involved with the team, but he's not even a coach at all. He's a chaplain for the team. So that's a pretty cool influence that he has on not just Jared, his son, but the rest of the players on the whole team.
Mm-hmm. Is he a starter tonight?
Yes, yes.
What's his name again?
Jarrett Culver. He'll be number 23 for Texas Tech.
Okay, and then do you know of any other believers on either team?
Yeah, Kyle Guy on Virginia tonight.
Really?
He's number 5, the shooting guard. He made the three free throws at the end of the game.
Yeah, we have a clip on him?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, excellent. Let's hear that.
I literally went to my knees because I started to think about it, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Just, you know, how God works and how, you know, basketball itself works. So it was a really good feeling to overcome that. The more adversity you can overcome in your life, the better off you're probably going to be. And even though sometimes we shy away from adversity, when you can hit it face on, it's a great feeling, and you just get stronger and you become a better person on the court, in your field, whatever, and just as a person. So I think it adds a little bit more incentive to it. But at the same time, if you weren't excited to win, go to the Final Four either way, then you got a whole different problem. You know, my face got me through a lot of tough times, a lot of good times. Austin Castro, our walk-on's he's a scholarship player now. He is going to the Ultimate Training Camp, which I went to my freshman summer, and it was life-altering, just learning how to, you know, play through the Lord and be able to have a balance. And that was a tremendous camp for me, and I'll never forget that experience. Try to soak it up and stay humble through it all and be grateful. Thankfulness is one of our pillars that we hang our hats on. So,
you know,
just because we're on golf carts doesn't mean we think too highly of ourselves. They're making us do that. So, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to have fun with it. And the more fun I have, the less pressure I put on myself.
I am really happy to know that he's a believer, because when I saw him shoot those three free throws, I thought there's ice in his veins. That guy does not appear nervous at all.
That was as big as it gets.
Yeah.
Down by 2, half a second left on the game clock,
yes.
And he got fouled.
0.6 seconds. Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So he got shot 3 free throws and made all 3.
Yeah. All right, who are you pulling for tonight?
Yeah, we were just
your favorites.
We were just talking. We were all on a show together downstairs on the student station, the Remnant. We were predicting the game.
And this one's better.
No, yeah, no. We were just predicting the game, though. I mean, like just about an hour ago. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily rooting for either team. I think Texas Tech. I like the way they're playing more right now from a basketball standpoint. But I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way. The big note in this one, it's supposed to be a defensive grind, low scoring game.
All right. What do you say, Anderson?
I'm going to Texas Tech just for him being the home state team.
Oh, awesome.
And my high school coach is here, too, who was also college roommates with Chris Beard as well. So,
all right, Caleb.
I'm rooting for Texas Tech. When we're there, we're going to play it pretty low-key. We're not really allowed to cheer for anyone when the media tables we sit at. But I'm rooting for Texas Tech.
Cool.
I think they're just a little bit more fun team to watch, and they're pretty explosive athletically.
Have fun tonight. Caleb Sowers, Ryan Mitchell, and Anderson Bazil Jr. has been my guest. Have a great time at the Final Four Finals tonight. We'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute.
Thank you for listening to Faith Radio, where you can find relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching to help you grow in your faith. Our mission is to lead people to Christ and nurture believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. Find out more about your favorite programs and features and find helpful articles on relevant topics such as marriage and family, finances, health and wellness, and spiritual growth, all at myfaithradio.com.
You
You know that one of my favorite segments on the show is Words of the Wise, and that's when I get an opportunity to speak to someone who's been a fully devoted follower of Christ for decades and decades, because I love to hear what they've learned and what advice they can pass on to us and what we can learn from decades and decades of following the Lord. My guest is Sheila Wong. She lives out east in the Hartford, Connecticut, Cheshire area, and she's on my guest line. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. Now, I'm just so interested in hearing about your life because I've got some background and I've seen some spectacular pictures, and the whole thing is so exciting to me. So I want to start, if you wouldn't mind, telling me about how you met your husband.
Well, I met my husband in Taiwan. I was part of an exchange program from the University of Hawaii's East-West Center. And he was working for the aid mission. And that particular organization handled my grants. So I walked into that office, and I asked to meet James Wong, mm-hmm. because he was a friend, or his wife was a friend, of my roommate back in Hawaii, whose name, incidentally, was Sheila Wong.
I love it. So, love at first sight, or how did that happen?
Well, we got to know each other over this period of time, uh-huh. and I was asking the Lord, well, you know, I'm a single. Do you really want me to be single for all of my life? And that's okay with me, but if you have somebody in mind, well, maybe you could let me know. Now, usually we hear about bells ringing.
Yes.
But in my case, as I was walking down the stairs where I worked, James came walking up the stairs, and I heard a buzzer. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you've got to be kidding. And the reason for that is that James' wife had passed away 2 years ago in childbirth. And so here he was, a father with a newborn, mm-hmm. and a seven-year-old son.
Wow. So what was the buzzer? Was that a noise in your head, or was that an actual sound that went off?
Well, I can't remember now.
Okay. But, I'm going to let you off the hook on that one.
But the long and short of it was that his father actually had been worked with the evangelist John Sung in China. That was after the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And so his father had been a pastor, but particularly working on as a retreat manager with John Sung. So James had a background, a Christian background, and as it turned out, from in later, after a number of things transpired, that he too felt the call to come to serve the Lord again.
Uh-huh. Now, he was a businessman, am I correct? And he did that pretty successfully for many years, didn't he?
Yes. And again, that's a special story of the Lord's hand on his life, because he left mainland China during the time when there was no communications between the two, Taiwan and mainland China. Mm-hmm. He sneaked out on the bottom of a boat. And he had no credentials, and of course he had not actually been to college, but his father-in-law at that time said, well, if you don't have credentials, you can't get a job. So he just wrote on his registration papers that he graduated from the Department of Economics and Hangzhou University. And so that was the basis of his being able to apply to New York University later on. Mm-hmm. And they accepted him as an auditing student. Mm-hmm. And after one semester, he succeeded. And he said, well, why don't you let me apply to be a registered student? And so he got his master's degree. He seemed to have a special talent in financial matters. And so that's how he got his job with ITT. And ITT sent him to Puerto Rico. And from Puerto Rico, he established a little church in our home. And from that, we were that was the basis for our call to missions in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sheila, one thing I'm learning about your husband is he's not afraid of hard work, is he?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But he certainly felt the Lord's hand upon him and opening doors for him.
Yeah. Now, one thing you said, which really got my attention when we chatted, was that he wanted to retire from business early so he had a full amount of energy to dedicate to serving the kingdom full time. Tell me about that transition and what you did at that stage of life.
Well, he wanted to take early retirement at 55. At that time, we did have a mission in our home, but he wanted to work full time. So he took early retirement so that he said he would have 10 good years of his life to give to the Lord instead of waiting till he was already not as able.
Uh-huh. So now you are going into full-time missions. Where do you go to do this missionary work?
Well, we were in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And if you look at the map, the next country over to the left would be Santo Domingo.
Okay.
And there was a Chinese group meeting at the International Baptist Church, and that's they were looking for a pastor, and so the missionaries there were requesting someone. The country is the Dominican Republic.
Sure.
The capital is Santo Domingo.
Sure. So you get yourself to Santo Domingo, and you start doing your mission work. I would love to hear some of the people and you met and some of the incredible God stories that you can share.
Well, one interesting thing is that when we went on our first trip there, they were just going to establish the Sunday school, the Chinese Sunday school, for the first time. And so on Saturday, they were having a little program with the Chinese students singing a song. And my girls and I, we had prepared music for flute, violin, and piano. And so we were part of that program. Now, the interesting thing is that one of the Chinese kids at that time has now become the de facto leader of the congregation in Santo Domingo.
Wow. That's exciting. So your husband, he is no longer with us. He's with the Lord, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and how long ago did he go to heaven?
That was in November of 2012.
Okay, so I would love to learn, Sheila, how God has helped you throughout your life, through life difficulties and challenges, and as we look back, maybe you can share some words of wisdom for the listeners.
Well, I think God definitely has a plan for our lives. When I was just a very young child, I thought, you know, I want to be a minister's wife. I had that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Later, my mother would tell the story that when she was a child, there was a sledding accident, and as she was injured a little bit, and as she waited for the doctor in his home, the doctor's wife brought out some artifacts that she had from China, and my mom decided that she wanted to be a missionary to China. Now, that never happened for a number of reasons, but I was the one that went.
Wow.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
God has his plans.
He does have his plans. Yeah. Sheila Wong is my guest. I'm going to take a little break, and when I come back, we'll continue our discussion. We call this segment Words of the Wise. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. Welcome back to the show. I have on my guest line Sheila Wong. She is my guest for Words of the Wise. I always love when I get a chance to do this segment because we get to talk to someone who has been a devoted follower of Christ for decades, and we can learn all kinds of things from people who have lived their lives for a long, long time and have given their life to the Lord. So, Sheila, as you find yourself in this current season of life, you lost your husband in 2012, and now you are you finding your lots of purpose and contentment and joy?
By all means. The Lord, as I said, had his hand upon me that my daughter and her husband live here in Cheshire, Connecticut, which is near the Yale, near Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And her neighbors are active in the Chinese Baptist Church near the university, and they, hearing that I spoke Chinese, were delighted to have me come and join their church. And under their sponsorship, they gave me an opportunity to serve with the children. And they asked me to play the piano, since that's what they needed. But playing one or two Sundays, I realized that those children were all learning to play violins and flutes and piano. And so I formed an ensemble. And so working with the children, with the ensemble, and writing music for them has really been a very exciting experience for me and fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. So you're feeling God's hand continually on you, and this is the next season of life that you're in, and you're feeling that there's plenty of contentment and joy.
By all means.
Yeah. I love that you've said that, and I appreciate that you've said that, and I think it's so wonderful for all of us to be hearing that. So thank you for sharing that. So think of young missionary couples that are thinking about going on the mission field. And you've spent so many decades doing missionary work. Maybe you could give some godly counsel and wisdom and advice to some younger missionary couples.
Well, my counsel would be to take advantage of the many opportunities there are to do missions work on a short-term basis, because that will help you to clarify your call. And also being actually on the field and with missionary couples that are serving now would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
To you in being able to count the costs and the joy.
Mm-hmm. I save some of my favorite questions towards the end, and what I would love to hear is your conversion, your experience of coming to faith in Christ. Was it a time that you specifically remember, or did you grow up in a Christian home, or when did you sort of step out and make faith your own?
Well, I was fortunate that I was brought up in a Christian home, that I was brought up actually in a Reformed church and attended from my earliest years, because my parents were active in the couples group, and then they taught Sunday school. And so throughout my growing up years, I had the advantage of a Christian education and a lot of good Bible teaching. So in terms of a conversion experience, I just had the understanding that God has a plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
The church where I was did not have the practice of an altar call. This I did not experience until I was went to Puerto Rico and joined a Southern Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
When that was
uh-huh. And then when you think about now your daily walk with the Lord, tell me about your spiritual disciplines. Are you in a Bible study right now? Are you in God's Word every day? What is your prayer life like?
Well, I'm fortunate because being retired, my time is very much my own.
Mm-hmm.
But it has always been my practice in the morning to spend time with the Lord. When the kids were growing up, it was after my husband and the kids went to school that I would have that time. Well, now I can start at 6:30 and have a lot of time just to let the Lord impress upon me what it is that he wants me to do. I would say more recently I've changed my practice from a to-do list to a to-be list because of course he wants us to do things, but I think he wants to be his representative wherever we are, which means I have to slow down and talk to people and take advantage of these opportunities as they present themselves.
Yeah, this retirement life sounds kind of nice.
Well, retirement life is kind of like putting new tires on a car because it takes you on a whole new adventure. And I certainly am quite busy. The morning time is my very creative time, and that is the time when I do writing or think through the things that need to be prayed for.
Sure, sure.
During the day. And I find that I am quite busy.
Yeah. Now, Sheila, I'm curious, Sheila, over all the decades you've been following the Lord, have you had times when you've just been mad at God and you've just been not knowing what's going on and you feel like you're not being understood or you don't understand him? Have you had any phases like that?
Well, I can't really say that I've been mad at God. Sometimes I have not felt his presence as much as at other times, but I have never felt I've never felt totally abandoned to him, and I can't say I've had these dramatic experiences that some people will recount.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you don't mind bragging about your kids and grandkids, so let's talk about a little bit about your daughter, Rebecca. She's a Ph.D. from Yale in a Hebrew scholar.
Yes, she got her she did her undergraduate work at Yale, and then she went on to Boston University to get her doctorate in Hebrew Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, she feels that she wants to be able to share the insights she's gained. She has taken many opportunities to lead retreats to her local church and Bible studies. Now she's looking forward to establishing a blog so that she what the Lord says to her can reach a wider audience.
That's fantastic. And your grandkids, are they cute and obedient? Not
well,
a fair question.
I have two.
Okay.
My one child, I have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest grandson is now in his first year at the University of North Carolina in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is here. He's six, and he is on the autism spectrum, and that has opened up a whole new world to me and to her daughter. And I have been singularly impressed by the love that is shown by the teachers who help these children learn to speak and to relate socially with others, and with the camaraderie of the parents who understand very much the difficulties of raising a special needs child.
Mm-hmm. Sheila, when you think of your peers, people roughly your age, a little younger, a little older, do you have any gentle, loving counsel for them if they've found themselves in a period of life where they're maybe a little cranky or irritable or not looking at life with much optimism?
Well, I would encourage them to in some way associate with a Christian group, either to a local Bible study or to their local church. Here I live in an independent living community, and we have a number of Bible study opportunities as well as worship services. But really, as we get older, we really need to have fellowship with someone else who understands what we're going through.
Mm-hmm. Sheila, I've always appreciated words of wisdom from people that have followed the Lord for decades, and you've said things today in this interview that I will never, ever forget. So thank you for bringing that wisdom and that godly counsel to the show. I have so appreciated meeting you and having you on the program.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to share what the Lord has done for me.
Now, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to get a hold of your PhD daughter, who's the Hebrew scholar. I'm going to talk to her, too.
Well, I'm so happy for that.
And then your last name is spelled W-A-N-G, but you say it's pronounced Wong, right?
That's correct.
So I've got a lot to learn. There's in San Francisco, there's a driving school called Wong Driving School, and their caption is "Learn the Wong Way." I've always thought that was kind of funny. But I will not make that mistake again. Sheila Wong, thank you so much for being on the show today, and God bless you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You bet. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. The work you do matters every day. Here's a reminder from Matt Perman, author of What's Best Next, How the Gospel Transforms the Way You Get Things Done.
Well, I'd say there's one wrong turn we can make, which is to think that a biblical approach to productivity would mean not caring about the matters of everyday life, like only caring about the spiritual side of things. And that would be a mistake. God very much cares about the full range of needs, physical needs, social needs, as well as spiritual needs. And he cares about all types of work. You don't have to be in Christian ministry in order to be living a productive life in God's sight. The heart of biblical productivity goes down to the motives and the reasons you're doing what you're doing. You need to be doing everything you do, even if it's making chicken sandwiches at Chick-fil-A, for the glory of God and the good of others. And that goes to the really heart. Do everything you do for the good of others.
Matt Perman shares more at myfaithradio.com.
We are back, and thank you so much to Sheila Wong. A piece of wisdom I walked away with is she said that I don't have a to-do list, I have a to-be list. Oh, that hit home. That's what God is interested in, is who we are as followers, and do we obey him? And about being versus doing. Really good. All right, tomorrow starts our spring share, and it's going to be interrupted with winter halfway through. That'll be fun. But I'm already amazed because we have the room already set up. In the studio, we've got our big video monitor, and there's already been a number of people that said, I'm going early. I'm just going to start giving now. Like a beautiful anonymous gift from Minneapolis, and Sandra from Hermantown, she gave a huge gift. Gretchen from Cottage Grove, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anonymous from Big Lake, there's already lots of people saying, you know what, I'm gonna go early. I'm just going to get in before it officially starts and support Faith Radio. That's going to mean a whole lot to us. Thank you so much. We're going to have a lot of fun the next several days. I love this time because we hear from listeners, and listeners are so nice, and they're so encouraging and supporting. And if you're an on-air host, we love this time. So we hope to make it meaningful, and we'll keep you moving. Be back. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.